Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Krisus Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked the Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 15 lines from the top of Daf Chof Ches. You will notice a slash mark in the middle of the line and the name Rav Chisda encircled. Before we begin the Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin where you will notice a Nosei heading. Nosei is a topic heading, followed by a Mivneh. Mivneh is a structural note. The Nosei, the topic heading for this section of Gemara, Dino Shel Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda's law, which states, Ein hakinin mispashois ela ibalakichas bailam I basias kohen. Kinin are birds, a bird offering. The standard bird offering that a person brings is made of two birds. One is a chatos and one is an ola. One is a sin offering, another is an ola bird offering. The two birds that a person sets aside for his kain, for his bird offering, are defined only at specific times. That's what Rav Chisda says. He says they are defined, or in other words, each bird is labeled, one as a chatos and the other as an ola, either at the time that the owner buys the birds, or when the kohen processes the birds, when the kohen does malika, the bird slaughtering. But any time in the middle will not be the time of establishing which bird is what. The Gemara, Omar Rav Chisda, Ein Hakinim Misparshois. Misparshois means defined. The birds are not defined. Which one is an Ola and which one is a Chatos? Ela, I bilakichas bailam. Rather, or only at the time the owner purchases. I basias kohen, or at the time that the kohen processes the birds. In other words, you can have a situation where the owner bought two birds for his bird offering, but didn't define which bird will be the Chatos and which one the Ola. So the definition will wait till the time the kohen processes the birds. Omar Rav Simi Bar Ashi, my time of Rav Chisda. What is the basis for Rav Chisda? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, V'lokcha shtei soirim, and a Pasuk also says, V'osa hakohen. We glance at the Rashi, a few lines down from here, the Rashi says, V'lokcha shtei soirim, echod li'olo v'echod chatos, V'gabi asiyo namiksiv v'osa hakohen eso echod v'chulei. You have two psukim in which two verbs are mentioned. Either v'lokha means the purchase, v'osa is the processing of the kohen, and in those psukim, reference is made to the specific identity of each bird. So we see from here that the definition of which bird is what is oy b'lekichas bailim, oy basias kohen, either at the time the owner purchases the birds or at the time the kohen processes the birds. The new geometric form that appears, a volcano shape or a trapezoid, is explained on the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, where you see the volcano shape featured, and we've written Kushyos al Rav Chisda, questions raised attacking Rav Chisda, Mimakuros, from sources, Shebahem Royim Kvius HaKorban, from sources in which we see that the identity of the sacrifice of the bird is established, Gam Shelo B'Shas L'Kicha Oyasiya, at some time other than the purchase or the processing. The first question lasts a number of lines. We've used a long marking. The volcano form appears to the immediate right-hand side of the vortex with a descending vertical dashed line. We've labeled this number one, realizing that this is all part of this. All of the lines of the Gemara opposite this vertical descending dashed line constitute the question. After this, you'll notice a tuf that's encircled. The tuf is a teretz with a similar descending vertical dash line, indicating that the answer lasts a number of lines. So structurally, the source that's brought by the Gemara presents a question to Rav Chisda. At the end of the question, the Gemara rereads the source so as not to present a question. The Gemara, Mesvei. This source deals with the Yom Kippur goats. Two goats are brought on Yom Kippur. One is called the Sorel Hashem. That's a goat that will be used as a sacrifice, whose blood is sprinkled in the Beis HaMikdash. And the other is called the Soyer Lazozel. This is a goat that's sent out of the Beis HaMikdash. It is sent to a cliff where it is pushed off, thereby atoning for the sins of Israel. At what point are these two goats defined as to what is what? So it takes place during the Yom Kippur service in the Beis HaMikdash, where two lots are drawn, one to determine the Lashem and the other to determine the Lazozel. We will see very shortly that determination through the lots takes place not at the time that the goats are purchased, nor at the time that the goats are processed or slaughtered or sent away. It's what we call not here nor there. And yet, their identity is established. We're going to be using this as a jump-off point for the power of declaration to establish the identity of a sacrifice. The main point being, since we're using the Yom Kippur ceremony as the basis of our logical argument that will shortly follow, we see that definition of sacrifices takes place at a time other than purchase or at the time of processing. And that will be our question. Now the source, the Oso Chatos. You will process one of the goats as a sin offering. Hagero Oso Chatos, V'ein Hashem Oso Chatos. We learn from this that the drawing of the lot determines which of the two goats is the Chatos, and not a verbal declaration. Shame, in this case, is a verbal declaration. For example, if a person didn't draw the lot, but simply said, declare, this is the one that is going to be Lashem, and this one, the other one, is going to be Lazozel. That does not work. It doesn't establish which is what. V'ein kohen oise chatos. We're saying here that shame doesn't make it into a chatos, and the kohen doesn't make it into a chatos. Sheyachol, I might have thought, v'lo dinhu, logic would have taught me otherwise. Uma b'mokom shelo kidesh hagorol, kidesh Hashem. In other, mokom here means a reference to other sacrifices where no lot is drawn, and yet a verbal declaration does establish identity. Mokom she hikadesh hagorol, a place like in Yom Kippur where the lot does is effective in establishing identity. Enodin shikadesh Hashem. Certainly, a verbal declaration should be effective. Therefore, Talmud Lomar v'aso chatos. I need the pasuk to dispel that idea, and the result is hagero oseo chatos v'ein Hashem oseo chatos. It's the drawing of the lot that determines it to be a chatos and not a verbal declaration. Kotoni, it teaches in this source, Shem Dumya Degorol. The idea of verbal declaration is used in contrast with the drawing of the lot. Ma Gorol, Lav Bilakicha, Vlav Basia, just like the lot is not at the time of purchase, nor at the time of slaughtering. Af Hashem, Nami, Lav Bilakicha, Vlav Basia. So too, verbal declarations are not at the time of purchase, nor at the time of processing. This creates our question. There's a note in Rashi where it's more or less across from here, a line or two down. We have a little star in the Rashi to help you find this. Af Hashem Nami Mokom Shekidesh Hashem B'Shar HaKobonos. With regard to other sacrifices other than Yom Kippur where verbal declaration is the means of establishing identity, even though it's not the time of purchase nor the time of processing, the verbal declaration takes effect. So it says here that verbal declaration establishes, and that will include even bird offerings as being established by verbal declaration. And as we have concluded so far, and this is the end of the question, we see that verbal declarations take hold even though it's not at the time of purchase nor at the time of processing. That is a question, a challenge to Rav Chisda. Omar Rava. Rava responds, Hochi ka'omar. The logic that was presented in the source is to be presented thusly. Uma b'mokim shelo kidesh hagoro. Mind you, in a place, meaning other than outside of Yom Kippur, all other sacrifices, where goro does not determine identity. V'afilu b'lekichas b'ilem u'b'asiyas ha'kayin, goro will not be effective. Even if you happen to use a gorol at the time, the gorol is the lock drawing at the time you purchase it or at the time it's processed. Yet, kidesh hashem, I belekichas bailim I basias kohen. When you're dealing with other korbonas, verbal declaration does take hold, whether it be at the time of purchase or at the time of processing. Kan, which is a reference to Yom Kippur, she yekadesh hagorol shelo belekicha v'shelo basia. On Yom Kippur, where the goral is effective not at the time of purchase nor at the time of processing, Einodin, Shikadesh Hashem, certainly verbal declaration should be effective, I Bilakiha, I Basia. Either at the time the goats are purchased or at the time they are processed. And by the way, this is a light like Rav Chisda. Tamalomar v'osel chatos, the pasuk comes to dispel that. Hagorol osel chatos, ve'in Hashem oseu chatos. The gorol is the only means of establishing identity, and not verbal declarations. That's as far as Yom Kippur is concerned. But with regard to other korbanos, verbal declarations are effective if they are at the time of purchase or at the time of processing. Meisvei, we again raise an objection to Rav Chisda. Metame mikdosh oni shehifrish mois likino veheshir. A person who had been in violation of ritual laws regarding the Beis HaMikdash. But the person was an oni. He was poor. And he set aside money for the purchase of a bird offering. And then he became wealthier. Ve'achakach omar. And then he said after he became wealthier, Elu lechatosi ve'elu lolosi. He said, I want these monies used for a chatos ha'oif, a bird sin offering, and the other monies used for the ola, bird offering. Moisif umevi chalvoso midme chatoso. He is now a rich man. He is expected to add to the sin offering monies and buy from that his obligation, his sin offering. The ein mosifu mevi chovaso midame olaso, but he doesn't use the ola dedicated money, the money that he dedicated for the bird, and add to that to bring his obligation. Vehohacha. Now, in this case, deleka lo lekicha velo asiyah. We're dealing with a person who had set aside money. Now, we're not talking about at the time of purchase, nor at the time of processing. The Katani, and it teaches here, though, maybe chavoso, midme chatoso, velo, maybe midme oloso. That he adds to the bird sin offering funds, but he doesn't add to the ola bird offering funds. What do we see here? We see that the monies were defined. One for sin offering, one for ola offering. They were defined, and you're not dealing with the time of purchase nor the time of processing. That's a kasha on Rav Chisda. Om Rav Sheshes, Vitispara. Rav Sheshes responds regarding this source and says that the source itself isn't not accurate. Masnisa Misaknosa, he? Is this source mitukan, meaning is it accurate? Is it reliable? And if you have a source that's not accurate, you can't use it as the basis of a question on what someone else said. Dekotoni, it teaches in this source something that's not accurate. It says, Veheshir, the person, after having set aside money for his bird offering, he then became wealthy. V'achakach Omar. And then he started to dedicate which funds, which monies are for the Chatasof and which are for the Olasof. Now, this sequence of events and the subsequent establishing of identity is just not accurate. The Omar Rabbi Lozer Omar Boshaya Metame Mikdosh Oshir, a person who had violated the ritual rules regarding entrance of the Beis Hamikdash in a state of tahara, who is chayav to bring a chatos behema, an animal sin offering, shehevi korban oni, who brings a bird offering, lo yotza korban oni, a poor man's offering. A bird offering is a much less expensive proposition. He is not in fulfillment. He's lo yotza. Now, here is the main point. If he's lo yotza, how in the world can what he says regarding the identity of the different funds, this for a bird sin offering and this for an ola bird offering, how can it take hold? It shouldn't take hold at all. Ela, my is loch lememar. Rather, what are you going to have to say regarding this source number two that we brought? Shikvar Omar Mishas Ani Yoso. As far as the definition of the bird funds, they became defined because he had defined them while he was still impoverished. Hochinami Shikvar Omar Mishas Hafrosh Yoso. So too, we will say, things become defined at the point that they are set aside. Let us glance at the Rashi. You'll find Rashi in the outside column, about a quarter of the way down from the top. Hochanami ukvar omar b'shas hafroshos hafrosha shebishas hafrosha omar elu lechatos ve'elu aliola. When he set aside the monies, you know, it's just like we redefined the source as far as the timing is concerned. Namely, he had said what he said when he was still impoverished. That's at a time that the bird offering is still relevant to him. So too, we are defining labeling the time at which he defined the money at the Shas HaFrosha, the time that he set aside the monies. Omar, he said, Eilu l'chadas ve'eilu l'ola. The Havilei b'Shas l'kicha. The setting aside of the money, the initial setting aside of the money, is tantamount or parallel to the time that one purchases the sacrifice. Therefore, it takes effect. And that's along the lines of Rav Chisda. Avol hikdishon stam. However, a case where a person simply dedicated money, these monies will be used for bird offerings. Shuv ein hashem kovo ad shas likicho o ad shas asiyo. No further defining will take place until he uses the money to actually buy the birds, or uses the money, or the coin processes the birds. In the meantime, though, we don't have a question on Rav Chisda from this source that we called volcano number two. The Gemara continues, Ularav Chago Omar of Yoshia de Omar, according to Rav Chago, who says Yotza, that a Matama Mikdosh Oshir, a person who is a man of means, that brings the poor man's sacrifice, the bird offering, he does fulfill his requirement, then this source is really accurate as it is, and we see monies being defined at a time other than purchase or processing. My Iko Lememar. Do we then not have a question again on Rav Chisda? The Gemara answers, Tani, rather, restate the source, the Achakach Lokach the Omar. Instead of what the source says on the first wide line, it says, the Achakach Omar, rather, read in the Achakach after he became wealthy, he then bought the birds and defined them at that time, which is along the lines of Rav Chisda, that things become defined at the time they are purchased. Meisvei. This is a kasha we will see on Rav Chaga. The source says, Mitzora oni shehevi korban oshir yotza. A Mitzora, who is one of those examples of people that need sacrifices that do take into account income levels. So here we have an oni, a poor man who is a Mitzora, that brings the sacrifices that a wealthy man would bring. He fulfills his requirements. However, and here we've dashed underline, this is the main point for us, oshir shehevi korban onir, oni, a man of means, a wealthy Mitzora, that brings the poor man's sacrifice, lo yotza, he does not fulfill his requirements. Tufta de Rav Chaga, Omer of Oshaya, should we then see this as a repudiation of Rav Chaga? Rav Chaga said, he himself had said, that a person, according to the Gemara's quote, that he is Yotzei. Here we see he's not Yotzei. Omar Loch, Rav Chaga responds, Shiny Gabi Mitzora. Mitzora is different. You can't use Mitzora as the basis for asking on the case of Tumas Mikdosh, Demiet Rachmona Zois. In the case of the Mitzora, there is a limitation expression. The word Zos, indicating that in the case of an Oshir, only the animal offering and not a bird offering. Well, if there is a limitation expression, the first part of this source that mentioned the poor Mitzora brings the rich man's korban, he is Yotzei, it should be through this limitation, it should say he's not Yotzei. The Gemara answers, Lai, in truth, ha ahadre kra toiras. The Hotanya, the Pasuk uses the word Toras, it says Zos Toras. After it says Zos, it also uses the word Toras. The word Toras is an inclusive expression, an expansion word. And the following source supports this approach. As we saw, Tanya's support to this is in this source, Toras. L'rabos mitzora oni shahivi korban oshir yotza. To include the case of a poor mitzora that brings the rich man's offering, he is in fulfillment of his requirements. Could it be that a rich mitzora that brings the poor mitzora's offering will also be Yotzei? To this we say no. Talmud Lomar, Zois. From here we say, the limitation sets in and says, no, that is excluded. The rich man cannot get away by bringing the poor man's sacrifice. So, as far as Rav Chaga's din is concerned, rich man, in the case of Tumas Mikdash, for example, that brings poor man's sacrifice, is Yotzei. By Mitzora, rich man who brings poor man's sacrifice is not Yotzei. That's because of the special Zos limitation expression by Mitzora. Question, V'leilaf mino, why not learn from that? Why not use Mitzora as a precedent? Just like Mitzora Oshir is not Yotzei with poor man's sacrifice, so too, let us say, the Metame Mikdash will not be Yotzei and reinstate a kasha on Rav Chaga. Omar Kro, so the Pasuk answers, from the Pasuk we have an answer, V'im dal hu v'ein yodoi maseges. We have again a limitation expression that teaches, Mitzora hu, only in the case of Mitzora is it that we say, De oshir shehevi korban oni lo yotza. A rich mitzora that brings poor man's sacrifice does not fulfill his requirement. Abul mitame mikdash oshir shehevi korban oni yotza. But like I say, says Rav Chisda, then in the case of a mitame mikdash oshir that brings a poor man's korban, he is Yotzei. As we approach the new Mishnah, let's just glance at the outside margin under our no say heading. In yone hakadoma, avolo mishum shiesh adifus. We will deal with the topic of priority, something one having priority over another, but not as a result of the added or increased significance to that item that we are giving priority to. The Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kivosim Koidmin Leizim B'chol Mokoyim. Imagine a case where there are two animals to be sacrificed, sheep and goat. Which one does one process first? So Rav Shimon says that one will process the sheep before the goat. Yachol mitnei shehein muvchorim mehem. Is that so because a sheep is considered a more choice sacrifice over a goat? Talmud lomar, to this we say, v'im keves yavi korbano lechatos. This reference to keves is on the heels of a goat having been mentioned earlier. You'll notice there's a Rashi. It says, "Hochi garsinon tamalomar v'im keves yavi korbano yavi korbano lechatos, v'lo garsinon im eiz tamalomar v'im keves yavi ule'el mineiksiv." We've dashed underlined this in the Rashi. This is the main point. Before this pasuk v'im keves, it said, "V'hevi es korbano siras izim." Kan hikdin eiz lekeves. You have a pasuk where the eiz, the goat, was mentioned before the sheep. So that what's quoted in the Gemara is where it says v'im keves. This is a quote of sheep being brought on the heels of a goat having been mentioned earlier. So that you see that as far as order is concerned, there are times that a goat is mentioned before the sheep. Melamed sheshnehem shkulim. This shows us that both are considered equal. So that the reason for the keves coming before is not because the keves is considered a more choice animal than a goat. Torin kodmin livnei yoina b'chol makom. The torin is a type of bird, will come before the b'nei yona type bird when you're dealing with bird offerings. Yachol mitnei shehein muvchorin mehem. Is it because the torin are considered a more choice type bird than the b'nei yona? Talmud lomar uven yoina oitor lechatos. You find another pasuk where the ben yona is mentioned before the chatos. Melamed shishneim shkulim. This shows us that both are equal. Before we go further, regarding just we should make mention of the sheep and goat situation. Rashi had made mention, and we didn't spell this out, but we alluded to it. Rashi had made mention that in most places you find the Torah referring first to the sheep and then to the goat. However, to say that the prioritization of the sheep over the goat is because of the added value or significance of a sheep over a goat, this is dispelled by the fact that in another place you see goat mentioned before sheep. In other words, the Torah gives a sense of balance to the two, so they're both equal. Let's continue now in the Mishnah. Ha'av kodem lo'em v'chol mokoim. When there's an issue of giving priority to a mother or father of a human being, the child is supposed to give priority to the father over the mother. Yochol mipnei shekibud ha'av oidef al kibud ha'em. Is it because that there is a greater premium placed on honor due to one's father more so than one's mother? Well, that's not true. Talmud lomar ish imo the aviv tiro. In another pasuk, you see that the mother is stated before father. Melamed shishneim shkulin. This shows us that mother is equal to father. Avol amru chachamim ha'ov kodem lo'em b'chol mokom. However, the sages establish that a father comes before mother when it comes to when an issue of priority comes up. That neishuhu v'imo chayovim b'chvoid aviv, because one's mother has an obligation to honor her husband. So that when it comes to the issue of honoring, a child honors his father, and the man's wife is expected to honor her husband. V'chein b'talmud Torah. And likewise, with regard to Torah learning, im zocha haben lifnei harav, harav kodem esoav b'chol mokom. If you have a situation where a person has received his Torah education from an outsider, and his father was not involved in Torah, in the Torah education of his son, so the son is expected to give priority to his Torah educator, to his rav, over his father. Mipnei shehu v'aviv chayovim b'chvoid rabo. Just like we said before, with regard to son and mother are obligated to honor the father, one's student and the student's father are both obligated to honor the Torah teacher. The Gemara. Before learning the Gemara, we have a title heading, a brief title heading that says Arba Tzvachos Sophazor. There are four screams were screamed by the temple courtyard. This is a figure of speech, but we will see the point as we go on in the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Arba Tzvachos Sofcha Azora. Tzvacha Achas, one scream was, Hotziu Mikan Bnei Eli Chofni Upinchas Shetimu Esahechal. Remove the sons of Eli. Eli was the Kohen Gadol at the time of Shmuel Hanavi. When Shmuel was born, Eli was the Kohen Gadol serving in the Mishkan. His sons were people that were of a certain level of ill repute. We won't get into any details over here, but they engaged in questionable practices, we will say. So the Azora, so to speak, screams, get them out of here. Chofni and Pinchas, who themselves were the sons of the Kohen Gadol, they should be removed because they have defiled the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan. Tzvacha Shnia, second scream, Pishu Sharam v'Yikones Yochanan ben Nadvoi. This scream announces, bring in this gentleman, Yochanan ben Nadvoi, Talmido shel Pinkoi, the student of Pinkoi, v'imali kresu mikot shishamayim. And let him consume, let him eat from the sacrifices. Omru al Yochanan ben Nadvoi, it was said regarding this gentleman, we're at the top of Omid Beis, Bekinuach Suda. He would eat four saw. Saw is a measure. Four saw measures of bird offerings, as Kinuach Suda means, like we would say, as his dessert. It means after his main meal, he would eat this. This is a vast amount for a person to consume. But now, what is the benefit of having someone like this around? Omru, it was said, Kol Yomav Lo Hoya Noiser Ba'azora. As long as he was alive, no korbonos were left over. And it's considered a negative feature to have korbonos that become noiser, that are left over beyond their requisite time. So as long as he was around, there was no noisar. So it was it was beneficial to have him around. Tzvocha Shlishis, another cry or scream of the Azora. Su Sharim Rashechem v'Kones Yishmuel ben Pichoi, a declaration for the gates to open up and allow to enter Yishmuel ben Pichoi, Talmid shel Pinchas, v'Yishamesh beKehuna Gedola, and let him serve as a Kohen Gadol. Tzvocha Revius, a fourth scream. Pishu Sharim, open up the gates. V'Hotziu Yisachar Ish Kvar Barkoi, and remove this gentleman, Yisachar Yishkvar Barkoi, Shemechabid Atzmo Vavaze Kodshei Shemayim. He's more concerned with his personal honor than at the expense of the defamation of sacrifices. Mayhavi Ovid, the Gemara here asks, what was his problem? What was he doing that we say, describe him as someone more interested with his own honor than the honor due to sacrifices? The Gemara explains, Havikorach Shiroi al Yodei, he used to wrap his hands with Shiroi material, the Havi Ovid Avoda, and he would then do Avoda in that form. He didn't want to get blood on his hands. He didn't want to, as Rashi explains, Kidei Shelo Yelach Lech Yodo V'Bosur B'Dam. There's a note to the side of the Rashi that says that in addition to this, there's a significant problem called chatzitza, that when processing korbonos, there should be no interposition between the Kohen's flesh, the Kohen's hands in this case, and the sacrifice that he's working on. But this gentleman wrapped his hands in material, thereby causing a chatzitza as well. So we have this description of this person and his negative behavior. My slikole, what was his fate? What befell him? The Gemara now gives a little bit of a story and in which this gentleman, Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Koi, will appear. The story is as follows. Yanai Malka u Malkasa Havu Yasvin. In the King Yanai and his queen were sitting. Malka Omar Gad Yodi Yoi, the king, that's Yanai, claimed that a goat is a better thing. Umalkas Omra Imra Yoi, and the queen was claiming a sheep is a better thing. Omru, they decided amongst themselves, Nishayle Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Koi, the Kohen Gadol Hu. Let us ask Yisachar, he was the gentleman featured in the Tanaic source, he was a Kohen Gadol, Vikim lay, he must know which is better, the Komasi Korbonis Kol Yoima, he's offering sacrifices every day, he's very well versed and experienced with these animals, he would know which one is better. Omar lay, so the Kohen Gadol Yisachar answered, I gadya yoi yesik letamida. If a goat was better, so then it would be used as the daily tomid sacrifice, indicating that since we don't use a goat for the daily sacrifice, the sheep is the better one. Now, this response was against that which the king had claimed. Bahadid Omar Achvi Biode, as he was speaking, he made some type of offhanded gesture. And this offhanded gesture is viewed as Moreid B'Malchus, in effect an act or a sign of rebelling against the king. Omar Lahon Malka, the king said, since he made this gesture using his hand, cut off his right hand. Yohiv Shochada, so this Yisachar, Ish Kfar Bar Koi, he didn't want to lose his right hand, so he offered some bribery money, Katsua Liode Smola, for his left hand to be cut off. Shoma Malka, the Omar, the king, heard that he had offered the bribe to have the left hand removed, so and that's what happened. He heard about this, and he said, the king said, Liksu nami liode dimina, cut off his right hand also. Omar Rav Yosef, upon hearing this story, said, Brich Rachmona, Boruch Hashem, blessed be the Kodesh, the Almighty, the Shakle, the Sochish Kvar Bar Koi, the Metarfase, Mine Bahai Alma. That he was the Almighty showed an act of kindness to this Yisachar in that he took his portion, his punishment. Mitrav say literally is his portion, but he received his portion of sin or his punishment for his sin in this world. It is a pillar of Jewish tradition that that punishment for sins in this world is a much more desirable thing to go through than to wait for the retribution for one's sins in the next world. So this man suffered a terrible fate, but it was in this world, and he didn't wait to the next world to suffer the consequences for his behavior. Omar Ravashi, commenting on Yisachar and his claim that one is better than the other, he says, "V'lo havetoni le." Apparently, Yisachar didn't know Mishnayis Disnan. Our Mishnah said, "Kvosim koydmin leizim b'chol mokoyim." Kvosim are given priority over izim. Yochol mipnei shemuvchorin. Is it because they are more choice? Tamalomer v'im keves. We, as we saw earlier in the Gemara, that the keves is mentioned at a certain time. It's mentioned after the A's, after the goat. Malamed shishneim shkulim kachas. We see from here that both are equal. So that if he was presented the question, which is better, he should have said, neither one is better than the other. They're both equal. Ravina Omar Afilu Mikra Dami Lo Kora. Apparently, he doesn't even know Psukim. Dichtiv Im Keves Im Eiz. There is, you see this Pasuk that says Keves is mentioned before goat. And his response to the king response indicating that one is better than the other, when as far as the psukim are concerned, you can see that sometimes one is mentioned before the other. We should note the Rashi, v'im keves. Rashi says, "Hainu kral de masnisin." This is the pasuk from the Mishnah, "De kadorash minei Reb Shimon sheshneim shkulim dechtiv li'el minei." It says prior to this, "Vehevi korbano si'iras izim." Prior to this, it says that he shall bring as his sacrifice a goat. So that you have a pasuk mentioning goat first, and then im keves, and though there are many other psukim that mention keiz before the goat before the sheep. After all is said and done, as far as the psukim are concerned, you see a certain sense of balance between the two. So after all is said and done, as far as the psukim themselves are concerned, you can see in Vayikra, Perek, Dalid, the A's had been mentioned before the Keves, and when you look in Vayikra Paragimel, you see the Keves is mentioned before the A's, so that Yisachar was apparently not fluent with regard to the Mikra, the verses themselves. The Masechta ends with an ending that you find in a number of different Gemaras as well. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. Presence of Torah sages increases peace in the world. Shenemar v'chol bonayach limudei Hashem v'rav shalom bonayach. Al-tuki bonayach. Don't read the pasuk in the simple form of bonayach your sons. Don't forget the Torah doesn't have vowels in it, so that the same word could have a cholam in it, which would read Ella Bonayach, all of your builders. The builders are referenced to the people, the students of Torah, and the Torah sages that are responsible for the maintenance of the entire world. And it's through them that there is shalom, there is peace and tranquility that can exist in the world. It's through the study of Torah that the entire universe is maintained. And with that, we come to the end of Maseches Krisus, and with this we conclude our shiur for today.